Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Sandra Bueno with Power to Be You on Blog Talk Radio, and I welcome the listeners. Today is Thursday, January 10th already, and today's show is a one-hour segment on coaching where I bring about a person, a leader, a coach, a visionary, an entrepreneur, a person who, through whose testimony has made a difference for themselves in their own lives, and who is today able to come on and say, listen, I have a point to make, and I have something to share, and this is the purpose for Power to Be You, a purpose to bring about distinctions, to bring about empowerment, awareness, and to help you along your own journey. And today's guest is a personal friend of mine. She is a partner in this endeavor that I've undertaken as far as being someone who believes that we can make a difference for others and someone who speaks from the core, someone who really puts themselves out there and can speak from testimony and from a place of heart and a place of love. And I do want to say that I am so happy and I am blessed to be able to bring her along. Like I said, she's a personal friend, but I'm just very excited because we're kindred spirits. So it is my pleasure to bring about Suzanne Covey. And before I get her on the line, I would just like to let you know a little about her, about Suzanne, about what she's up to, what she is doing, and what she represents. And today's show also, it's going to be about three themes or three actual subject matters, which the first is courage and faith, then doing what is difficult, and then making hard decisions. And I think that right now where we stand, not only in the face of our country, where we are, an election year, just all of these different things that come around us, life in general, we are also at a place in life where we're looking at our goals and we're looking at what we want out of life. And because we're at the beginning of the year, we are still fresh with the focus of really looking and saying, what is it that I must do in order to go forward? And both Suzanne and I are going to come today and perhaps even expose issues about ourselves and expose situations or experiences that have led us to where we are now. So before bringing Suzanne on, I'd just like to tell you that she is an author. Suzanne will be publishing her book shortly, and she will be talking about her book on this show, which is entitled Mountain of Discovery. It is a journey through inner challenges of life, and it is a journey that allows others to also have a voice through it. And she will speak more about that, but really something that stands out is her purpose for this book, which is about living a life full of love for self, for others, and for God. And through this book, you are able to see venturing into new valleys, understanding that the descent isn't as far, and the next summit is higher than the next. So she will talk about this, but let me tell you also that Suzanne is a coach. She is a speaker. She works with corporations and organizations. She has, throughout her life, she has been a performer, been on regional and national commercials as well as international films. She has a lot of personal journey under her belt, and she definitely speaks from a place of leadership, of success, of just really being able to get to the core. She is also president of Ignite Your Life Incorporated, and she is co-founder of Core Creations, which is an association through which she and I have come together to create programming and to create a platform and podium to reach out to women and children. So at this time, I'd like to bring Suzanne online. Suzanne, are you on?
I'm here. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Suzanne. Thank you so much for being here, and I just really appreciate you. I appreciate that you're here, and I'm just so excited because I believe that you're the first woman that I've had author and presenter on Power to Be You.
Yay, I love breaking templates.
So yes,
I love the heart.
See, so to get right on there, I think this is just great, and I know that you I snapped on I put this on you at the last moment, but it just really you know, it really just made me realize that at times we can help others by exposing ourselves and saying, well, Suzanne, why don't you come on the line and we can go through a little bit of these challenges that have kind of come into our lives and, you know, what we can make of them to help us and to empower not only ourselves, but to empower those who might be able to learn from our examples.
Thank you, Sandra. I think you're absolutely right. I never used to always believe this way, but I've come to believe that the challenges that I've been through in my life are not to serve me. They're definitely to serve others, and I believe that that's why God gives them to us, is because he says, you know what, you've got to work on this area of your life, because once you've gone through it, now it is your job, it's your duty and your honor and your blessing to be able to carry those same lessons to somebody else and to give them that the courage, give them that voice that maybe they haven't quite found within themselves yet. So thank you for putting this on me at the last minute and letting me start getting myself out there and really sharing my heart with people. So thank you.
Oh, no, you're welcome. It's, you know what they say, I know that when you and I came across together, it's when you start putting yourself out there and you really believe and you start focusing, you, somehow God and life just puts you and aligns you with different people. And I really think that part of being empowered is learning to recognize that and learning to not just recognize it, but really go along with it, you know, and take advantage of what's there, because it may not necessarily be there for you know, for permanence, forever. But it's what both of you can create that can make a difference and really take you to higher levels. And I think you're very much in tune with being in higher levels.
Yes. I've been in some really high levels, and I've been in some really, really bad levels too, some low ones. But I think I've at some point in my life experienced the whole gamut. And I know that, you know, only halfway through my life at this point, I'm sure I'm going to have many more of those peaks and valleys along the way. But like you had mentioned, those valleys don't seem to be as low and as deep as the ones you've been through before, because you're that much stronger. So they don't pull the carpet out from underneath you as much as they did before, hopefully.
Well, I know that you said when we laid around and said, you know, higher levels and peaks and valleys, you've been on there not only emotionally, spiritually, but also challenged through a specific endeavor that you undertook, where you were challenged and you had the courage to continue it, and it just really marked your life. Would you be able to tell us about that?
Oh, I would love to, because it was the birth of my whole journey with Ignite Your Life. It wasn't really the birth, but it was the launching ground to give me the courage to do what had sparked within me a year prior to that. And that is exactly what my book is called, which is Mountain of Discovery, because it was about that journey of being able to look back at my life with a different view. And it took me some time to realize this, that I had something in my life that was really missing, and that was feeling significant. It was something that I had struggled with my entire life. And on the surface, I even to this day have friends telling me, gosh, I've always thought of you as being so strong and so put together. And in my family, I was the blonde-haired, could-not-do-wrong child. But there was definitely a missing spot within my spirit where I was able to keep up that really strong front, and I got really, really good at it. But with on the inside, I was literally screaming, and I never really had the courage to say, it's not okay. This is not what I want in my life. And although as a child we're taught, you know, this is what you do, this is what your parents tell you to do, and I quickly became what I felt to be is the sheep, one of the sheep, and my friends were the shepherds, and all I did was follow along, just because I wanted to be loved. And I really believe that is the core of who we all are. We all have amazing fronts. But when it comes really down to it, we not only want to be loved, but we want to be able to love ourselves. And I didn't have that. I didn't have that. I did not like myself. I didn't love myself. But I was really good at putting on a great front, which is probably why I was really successful in my acting career, because it was easy to be other people than it was to be myself. And that was going into acting was something that my husband had blessed me with, because he's the one that said, look, this is something that you could do. then he gave me that gift to learn how to express myself, and I am eternally grateful to him for that. And then again, here comes this man again on my 40th birthday, which was over a year ago. And I had reached what I thought was a really great point in my life where I felt like I was finally figuring out who I was. I had gone through multiple valleys on the way to get there. And one of them, of course, was very severe depression to the point where I had gotten to the point where I really wanted to commit suicide, and I was afraid that was an honest, true feeling within my heart, and I was very afraid of it because I couldn't see an out. And fortunately, I voiced it to my mother, and she told me, you know, just to go immediately, get help, and I did. But there were a few things that I did on my way to get out of that black hole, and one of them was to really check the balance in my life and figure out what was missing. And my health was a big one. There is drinking, which is in the history of my family, and I was quickly falling down that path as a means of coping. And it's only been until recently that I said, you know what, I've got so much more within me now that I don't need that. So I'm very blessed to have a family that's very supportive and to also be going on this journey with my family as well, both with my parents and with my husband. So back to what I had mentioned about my husband being an amazing gift was through the journey of becoming healthy and becoming strong, becoming a fitness trainer so I could help others, I continued to constantly go down these black holes. Until one day I just literally fell to my knees and I prayed to God. I said, I'm done. I hand over the reins. I don't know what else to do anymore. Life is out of my control and I need you. And it was upon that time when he entered my life that I felt a tremendous amount of peace. But it doesn't mean that life got really easy at that point. And as I continued to journey through life, things started to get better and clarity started to come into my life a little bit at a time. And I kept having these little valleys and then would come back out of them again. But I never viewed those transitions of in and out as peaks and valleys. I just looked at them like, oh, this is a crappy day, and oh, I feel good today. But about a year and a half ago, my husband sent me on a trip that really, really put my life, my journey, and my goals into perspective. And he innocently sent me on a climb. I've always said I wanted to summit a mountain. That was my ultimate dream, was to climb Mount Everest. And my husband said, okay, first of all, the Smokies do not equate Mount Everest. You've got to do something before you can do that. And I, of course, am always looking at the big picture, and I thought, okay, well, one of these days I'll climb a mountain. So 5 o'clock in the morning, he slaps his packet on the table, wakes me up, and says, pack your bags, you're going on a trip. And it was my 40th birthday, so I'm thinking, the Caribbean, you know, we're going someplace. And he said, no, you're leaving. You need to go on a trip. This is a turning point in your life, and it's important that you discover who you are, where you're meant to be. You need time for you. I know that there's probably so many women out there right now that are going, excuse me, does your husband have a clone? But, you know, we've been through our peaks and valleys too. And so anyways, I went on this trip, and it was nothing like what he had expected. He had no way of knowing the intensity of the trip. I had no way of knowing. I had, at this point, never been through anything as strenuous as this, and I had a back injury, so the gym was out of the question for the past few years before that. But here I am having to climb a 9,200-foot mountain with a 50-pound backpack on my back. And the journey that I had been through to get through that mountain, in hindsight, was so incredibly parallel to the journey that I had gone through and continued to go through in my life. It is, when you don't have a purpose, when you don't have a vision or a mission or a core guiding system, a core compass within your soul, life is like that 50-pound pack that you wear on your back. It is, you can't even think clearly enough in front of you because the weight is so much that you're afraid that if you even trip, life will devour you. And I had felt like that in the beginning of this journey. It was, this pack is so heavy. All I can look at is the step in front of me, And if I fall, the black flies of the Northern Cascades are going to have me for lunch because they were so intense. And I look at that and I'm thinking, that was the beginning of my life where I felt like I had so much weight on my shoulders and I was so afraid to tell my fellow climbers that I'm scared. I can't do this. This is too much weight. But I was willing to keep up a good front. And as the journey progressed and we started traversing through different types of terrain, it was the previous journey that I had left was like, well, that wasn't so bad. I survived it. And then to kind of bring it to the peak for you, when we had reached the glacier, when we had reached the ice, which is just the most incredible experience in the world, to be on the edge of a mountain, looking to your left and seeing flowers and beauty and warmth and sun and the lake and everything just thousands of feet below you, and then looking directly to the right, this is how different this mountain was, and seeing ice and rock. But the beauty of it, to me, was so much more captivating than the trees and the flowers, because I looked at that and I went, I've been through that. I know what trees and flowers and warmth can be to you, but this over here, this rock and this ice, this crispness of air and of life was unknown to me. So therefore, it was far, far more intriguing. Of course, I was with a guide and a group. I couldn't turn back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was sitting on the glacier, we had to sleep in our tents at night, and we had to dig in a horizontal platform for us to put our tents, because if you didn't, you know, you would literally slide down inside your tent. And I remember not sleeping, but laying in my tent, and here's this 65-year-old man next to me who had about 60 climbs under his belt. And I sat in that tent, and the intensity of the stars up that high shining on the summit, I cried, I got sick, I was shaking, I couldn't sleep, and all I kept praying was, God, give me the courage to say no. Just give me the courage to walk away. Most people will say, give me the courage to see through it, but in this case, I wanted to quit, and I wanted to know it was okay. Well, that didn't happen. You know, God has a way of saying, I will put you to what I, you know, and I will see you through, and this is exactly what happened. So the 12-hour climb to the summit, just from base camp alone, was the scariest, one of the scariest things I had ever done. And at that time, I thought, this is the most difficult thing I had been through emotionally and physically ever in my life. And I am so afraid that I will fail and I will take my team down with me. And, of course, that didn't happen because I learned this, thank goodness, but when you're going through life, you're not in it alone. Whether you have a belief in a higher power, whether it be Buddha, whoever it is, whether it's, you know, your Lord, God, whatever it might be, if you don't have a team of people around you that say, hey, it's okay for it to be hard right now, I'm here for you, or a team around you that says, you can do this, or even a team around you, like my husband, that will say, this is not in line with who you are. You won't succeed in this because it's not you. And at the time when he said that to me years ago, I thought, how dare you tell me that I'm not going to succeed at something? But sometimes people know you so much better than you know yourself. And he knew that I could do this climb. And he knew I had a dream, and he helped me fulfill it. He also knew that the venture I had was on 2 years ago wasn't the right fit for me. So fortunately, you know, if he's listening to this right now, I'm basically going to tell him, yes, you were right. You're right. And then, you know, they need to hear it sometimes too, women, that men can be right too. But when I had thought this was the most difficult thing in my life, I was reminded of a time where I gave birth. And yes, some women are going, oh, yeah, praise God, that was the most difficult time in my life. But for me, the most difficult time was actually giving birth to a son and then never being able to take him home. Then in one breath, giving him an I love you, and then within the next breath saying, you are God's. And to know that he is a blessing and he's an angel in my life. But it wasn't, honestly, till I did that climb where the movie in my head was erased, and all I could think of was that moment, that moment of reaching that peak. And when I stood up there at 9,200 feet, all the pain that I had felt through my life was gone. It was gone because I thought, that's why I've been through it. And I looked back at that mountain and I said, that is exactly what your life has been like. And I turned and I looked at my guide and I said, what's that mountain right over there? And he said, well, that's Mount Baker. I said, how high is that? He said, that's 12,000 feet. And I felt in my heart and I said, that's my next climb. Because I know that starting at the beginning again, I will not have to start at the same place that I was before. So just like life, when I have found that when I go through different darkness, different valleys, and like I said, they're going to be eternal. You're always going to have these challenges. But it's how you perceive them. It's how you frame them in your mind. And it's whether they empower you or they disempower you. And my experiences and my challenges and my depression and the loss of my child and loss of loved ones since then was disempowering me. And I felt that God continued to throw these things in my path because he's going, you are better than that. You are stronger than that. I do not create junk. I tell people, you know what? God doesn't create junk. And I'm so glad that I was given an opportunity to experience that climb because I didn't have perspective on my life. And now, after going through that experience, I realized I do have that perspective. And the reason for writing this book, and I struggled with it. I said, do you want it to be a how-to book? And I thought, no. There are so many people I know out there that are crying, and they need somebody to say to them, I know how you feel, and I've been through that, and I want to be able to stand up when I speak to groups and go, you are worth more than the challenges you've been through. And if you don't have the courage to say it, let me say it for you, because I've been there, and I'm going through it every single day. And without a sense of purpose and mission and drive and love for yourself, you will continue to stumble through life. So that is, and I can keep going on, but that is the mountain of discovery. That's my life. That's Ignite Your Life. That's the drive and the vision I have, is to give people a voice. And the politicians do it all the time. You know, I want to give you a voice. That's to me a bunch of crock, because they're giving you what they think you want to hear. And it's a facade. When I stand up there, I am raw and I'm authentic. I might cry with you, I might laugh with you, I might get angry with you, but the point is I am you and I want to give people that voice. So.
And if so, you know what, you I just went through different peaks and valleys just listening to you, because you have such an amazing ability to really take the listener in with you and, you know, to share that climb with you. I mean, I was there in that tent freaking out, thinking I'm all the way up here and the wind's blowing and it's icy and what if I fall off and, you know, and why am I up here? Why don't I just go down? And, you know, and you make such an amazing point, such an amazing, you know, just real distinction of having perspective and how a situation and an experience in your life was able to make you or to help you make sense of the why certain things happened in your life. And, you know, that's where, again, making those distinctions that oftentimes we need someone else to, in a way, maybe permit us or urge us or lead us or guide us or mentor us. You know, this is what humanity is about. It's about being able to share from each other and share with each other what we've learned, and to say to one, listen, you don't have to go down that path. You know, or maybe if you're in a situation such as this, you know, allow me to share with you my story, and maybe it will give you some form of perspective there, you know, thereby empowering you to maybe make a distinction. And I think this is really why your whole experience, which just allows one to see so many areas of our lives that are constantly being subjected, you know, to challenges. And, you know, just alone, you're talking about, first of all, there was your own experience as yourself, how you felt about yourself, you know, the relationship that you had with Suzanne for how many years you were not comfortable in your own skin and you hid away from who you truly was or were. Then you're talking about the relationship you also have with your husband, which is, you know, it's a relationship that really, really is, it's, I think it's one of the most important relationships that us as humans can ever have, that relationship of significance with another person that we choose to have our lives with. Because, you know, you might be on your own journey. It might have taken you 30 years to get to where you felt okay with yourself. Now you get involved in a relationship where all of a sudden, all of that comes into question, you know, or a place where you have to defend yourself or a place where you have to judge. And, you know, and it's so difficult. But in your case, you have, you know, your husband supported and strengthened you while you were on your journey. And you, you know, and thereby, this is something that you also bring in to perspective. You know, you also bring in your health. You brought in your emotional side, you brought in your spiritual. And, you know, this is what I talk about when I talk about power to be you, of people being aware that, you know, we're a human being going about life every single day, day in, day out, with ordinary things to do, but there's a higher essence of being that is at play every single day. You know, and you, I think you tap very much into it by saying, you know, here I've had real life-changing experiences and real life passions to ignite the spirit of the individual when that individual may not be at their best.
You touched upon something, too, that I think it's really important for to share with people, and that is that when you mentioned the why, you know, when we look at our lives and we say, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And that is such a dangerous place to be. And when you're constantly looking back, and I think we've all been guilty of this at some point, and every once in a while we still fall back into that, why? Why did this happen? And we analyze, and through focusing on trying to figure out why something happened, we are spending no time moving beyond it. We are sucked into the reliving that moment over and over and over again. And one of the things I love about coaching and mentoring and accountability is telling a person, okay, this experience has happened to you in your life, and you may understand why. There are going to be many times where there is no explanation why. Losing a child, losing a loved one, sometimes there will never be a why. It's just, it happened, and it sucks. It's just flat out bad. And if you constantly just try to why, oh, it's my fault, or I should have done this, or I should have done that, when you stick in that point, then your life can't continue to grow, and you can't take the experience as a lesson to empower another person who needs your help. So what I love about coaching and what I love about mentoring is having that outside ear or that outside eye or that outside spirit to say, okay, you sound like you're trapped, and I know you don't get why, but what is it that we need to do now as a partnership, as a team, to get you to move beyond that? And, yes, I do have an extremely supportive husband. One of the things that is such a blessing in relationships, whether you have a spouse or not, but you have a dear friend, is to let that partner know, let that friend know, hey, look, I'm having a challenge in this area, and I need an accountability partner. I need somebody who is going to not let me get stuck in this moment and to move beyond it. And that's what's so empowering about coaching.
Mel, you are working primarily with women, or you're working, how do you define your, you know, where the area of your specialty?
I am really, really passionate about women. And it's not that I don't think men can definitely use the guidance and the help. And I'm, of course, I'm open to anybody who is at that moment of a transition where they're trying to get through a difficult moment and they're stuck and they're lost. But there's just one thing about the spirit of women that really sings to my heart, because we are the seat of the soul. We're the ones that give birth to life. And we're the ones that are only given so, I mean, the reality is we are only given so many opportunities to have children in life or to create life in our life. Men are given this gift to continue to go on and on. So we, and this is scientifically, this is actually scientific, that women do actually pick their mates because they're only given certain opportunities to continue life. And so they are the ones that do pick. And it's because of that that we give so much of our soul to create a new one. And then here's this new soul that enters the world. And a piece of you goes with that child. I felt lost, and I don't know any other first-time mother that will ever tell you any different. I was lost after I had my first child. I had to figure out who I was, where was I going, and there's not a whole lot of stuff coming in to fill your spirit. And then all of a sudden you have another child, and then you're back in your career, and there's never been a refueling of spirit as you continue to move along. And these are the people that I really want to talk to, whether they are women in business, as briefcases and suits and quotas and sales and all those other things aside, down to their core, they are human beings with feelings, with emotions, with needs. And that's the part of the person that I really want to connect to. And then there's the children. I didn't understand what an absolute blessing children were until I had to give birth to one and then had to turn him over. And in hindsight, I went, oh, my gosh, had that not happened, I probably wouldn't have seen the beauty of the child I already had at home. And these kids are with us for a short time because eventually they grow up and they move along. And it is our duty as parents and as adults, whether you have children or not, to really develop strong leaders in our children. And it starts as young as an infant, when they can start to learn, 2 years old, 3 years old, I have done everything to empower my child to know that his choices matter and that he does have choices. Of course, mommy gets the ultimate choice, but there does come a point where they need to know that they do matter and their choices do matter and they make an impact. And that is the other area that I want to talk to as well.
You know, and I know at the beginning of the show I said that we were going to be tapping into areas of our core and themes, you know, courage, and as well as faith, doing what is difficult and making hard decisions. You know, when we speak of, you tapped on it for just a moment when you said, you know, about men. And, you know, it's oftentimes that men don't have the same, I guess, the same platform to be able to speak of emotions, be able to say, well, listen to me, and I have needs, and, you know, why is it that the woman always gets to cry and not the man? And obviously, you know, when you said scientifically, biologically, you know, we're different, we're cut out differently, and this is something that, for me, I'm very much also aware that where we stand today in society, we as women have really, really, I think, in our quest to be respected, in our quest to have equality, you know, in our quest to be able to pursue ourselves, our different layers, like you said, you know, there's so much that we have and that we give because we have so much to give. You know, we're not just a mother, we're not just a wife, we're not just a provider, a mentor. You know, we're so many other things that I think most women fail to discover within themselves because they don't allow themselves to lift that core, which is, you know, what you bring about is being who you're supposed to be in your core, so that as a woman, so that we can really just show our inner beauty, so we can show our radiance, so we can show our magnificence. And I will tell you that I've always equated this to a rose, that I've said, you know, a woman is like a rose with those many or that those layers and those petals, that as the flower just blooms, you know, it just gets so much fuller and just so much more, you know, beautiful and engulfed, that I think, you know, today, in today's time, women are walking around kind of like an automaton or a robot, kind of assuming male qualities in trying to just go forward and do this and go here and go there. that at the end they end up being empty.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, this is where the male and the female roles and energies come about, that I as a woman will say, you know, I need that other part. I need that gardener to come and feed me. You know, I need that gardener's hand to prune me and to help me remove the weeds from around me. And I think that's something that truly is so needed today. You know, not for the men who are out there listening. It's, as a woman, we need you men. We need you men to stand out there for us and to help us be even more beautiful than we consider ourselves. Because it is in that we create that unit. You know, it is in that we create that relationship of love and of trust and of beauty that we can have. You know, and I know that, you know, this is speaking on behalf of men and also at the same time speaking to them, because so many women will be like, look, I'm on my own, I'm doing my own thing, and this is where I have to be. But I will say, in the absence of that man, what else can a woman do but assume all of that responsibility and carry forth?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, too, with the way society is right now, that women want to be successful. I want to be successful. Most women out there do. They want to have something that they can be really proud of, aside from being a great mother and being a great wife. I mean, not that those things aren't wonderful, but one of the basic human needs, of course, is significance, which we mentioned, but the other one is to be able to contribute. And it's one of the conversations I've had with my husband, you know, many times in the past, over being frustrated over, oh, I don't feel like I'm contributing. And he says, how do you not see that? How do you not see your contribution to the family, the way you take care of me and the house and our son? And I said, yeah, I get that. But as a woman, as a spirit with a voice and passions and desires, I don't want those passions and desires to remain within the four walls. I want that to go out and impact the world. This is why we are all created so differently. We're not created so differently so we can go off and do something. We are created differently so that as a whole, we put the world, we put life, we put spirit in balance. And that's something that we had discussed a few days ago, was there was something about you, Sandra, that you really helped me feel more whole. And I don't believe we are truly complete and whole until we go up to heaven. But while we're here on earth, it's so important to allow yourself a voice, to allow yourself a platform, an area where you can contribute to society so that society can continue to fill your spirit. And it's that filling up that you take back to your home. And when you are full and you come back to your home, you have so much to give your child. You have so much to give your spouse. And as far as men are concerned, they're feeling human beings as well. They're wired differently. They're the gatherers, the hunters, gatherers. That's their role. We're the nurturers. So we are wired a little bit differently. But there are plenty of men out there that are tapped into their love for themselves or their spirit. I can't tell you how many men I have spoken to about what it is that I want to do to impact the world and talking to women, and they always come back to me, what about men? You know, I'm feeling a little lost right now. But men don't open themselves up to being vulnerable that way. So as a society, we don't even know that we can touch that we can go there. But men cry. Men will tell you, I have needs, emotional needs. We don't usually hear the emotional needs, but they have them. And it is really important for us as women to find as many opportunities as we can to fill our spirit, that we can in turn go and fill our spouse's spirit or our partner's spirit, because it's not their natural way to go out and look for it. But it is ours. It is our natural way to go out and look for ways to be fulfilled. But men, that's not their natural. So it's part of our duty as well to be nurturers to our husbands and to let them know that we are there when they're ready, because they're not really the kind of group that you can force it upon them. I guess I can only speak from experience here. In my household, we have a feeler and we have a thinker. I'm the feeler, my husband's a thinker, so together we're a little bit more balanced out. But it is men, we can't forget the men, because they are the other half of who we are and why we're here.
You know, we say, thank God I'm a woman, because if I were not a woman, I would not have wanted to be a man to deal with women. You know, knowing myself, knowing how we go, because we have, it's something, if don't quote me on the amount, but it's something like, I think, 12 different hormones or 14 hormones that we operate on, while men only deal with two, testosterone and adrenaline, you know? And there's a great movie to bring about, which is that movie with Frasier. I just forgot that kid that always does the Tarzan movies. It's the with Elizabeth Hurley, is the movie on, I believe it was She-Devil, which basically shows, and I know I'm probably wrong with even the movies in the title, but the essence of this movie is when, you know, the girl keeps on wishing for a certain type of man, a man who is emotional, and then a man who is strong and powerful, and then a man who is artistic. And it was so funny because it basically shows each one of these men and what their emotional stability is, and what it, and who and how they are. And at the end, she ends up rejecting all of them because, you know, it's kind of like you need to have the entire whole. And how does that entire whole happen if you don't allow it to really expand, or if you don't allow yourself the freedom to really, you know, to really try to figure out where you fit in all of this? So, you know, for me, a question that I have for you, because, you know, I want to keep to what I said at the beginning we were going to cover, you know, what do you say, and of course I can't really give you an example, but to say, what do you say when doing what is difficult in this sphere? When what you feel inside, in order to be in aligned with your, in alignment with your core.
What do you do? In other words, what do you do when you are faced with fear? Like, what is something that you can do to overcome it? Is that what you're asking me?
No, when faced with a decision, like for example, now at the beginning of the year, here are many people looking at their lives and saying, okay, you know, what is it that I want? And oh gosh, this requires me to take, you know, a giant leap forward. This requires me to leave something. This requires me to make a difficult, to make or do something difficult. What do you, how do you as a coach go forward and say, okay, this is what I can advise you, or this is what I can, you know, what distinctions can you bring out?
Well, I think you're right. This is that time of year. You know, everybody looks at their life and says, oh, I've had all these battles last year. I lost some, I won some, and this year is going to be different. I've got New Year's resolutions, which, by the way, I do not set New Year's resolutions. I think they're a joke. If you can't set goals and overcome obstacles throughout the year, one day isn't going to make a difference. But that's me, because I've done the New Year's resolutions and I've failed. But some people out there do set New Year's resolutions. And so they're looking at their life going, what is it that I can do? I need my life to be different, and I'm scared, and I don't know where to go next. I would really sit down and talk to them first and say, well, what is it about where you are right now that isn't working for you? What kind of results are you seeing in your life right now that isn't in line with what it is that you want? And sometimes, almost all the time, you'll hear, I don't really know what I want, because we've been so busy caring for other people that we don't know what we want. And then you've got to take a look at someone's life and say, well, let's take a look at what you have done in your life. Where is it upon your journey, the moments in your life where you felt joy? Simple things. Oh, I painted that room and I really enjoyed that. Or that trip was really great. To go back and remember the times in your life when you did feel joy. All, you know, if you have to go back to when you were a child, I love doing this, I love doing that. Those moments that brought you joy, to see if there's a common thread. Because most of the time, if you really do the work, you will see, and it could take time, you will see a common thread of joy that is linked to experiences that have similarities. And that will allow you to tap into a memory, a mental memory, a spiritual memory, and a physical memory of those times in your life. And that will allow you to be a little bit more in touch with your core. So now you can come back to your present and say, what are you doing right now in your life that brings you the same level of joy and comfort that these events in your life brought you? Instead of focusing on what is it that's not working, let's take a look at what's going on that is working. So what is it about that that is working for you? Now that you have an idea of what is actually working for you, if all these other things around you were non-existent, if they weren't even an issue, oh, but they are an issue. Okay, well, what if? Let's play. Let's pretend. What if all of those other things were not an issue and you've got these few things that bring you joy? If you could monopolize on that, if you could expound on that and all those other negative things were gone, what would your life look like? And then it's within that that you can start to hear, and the voice goes up, and there's a little bit of a inner voice. They get excited because they go, well, this is what I would really love to do. And then it allows you to start taking them into more of a positive direction as opposed to getting out of that woe is me, I'm stuck here kind of mentality, and start focusing on what are some of the things that you can start doing to bring a little sense of joy in your life, and then start building upon that. That would be one of the first things that I would do with somebody if they're at that moment of being stuck and if there's fear over trying to make a decision or trying to take a step. No one's asking you to go from ground level to 9,000 feet in one day. That is impossible. You can't climb a mountain in a day, but you can take a step. And whatever that step might be, if you know what your joy is, if you can pinpoint what your passion is in life and understand what your core is, which takes time with the proper coaching and the proper guidance, it will take time. Once you've determined that, then you can start to create a mission. And when you've got that mission created, now you can start to look at ways that you can direct your life bit by bit, step by step, that will start getting you back in line with what your mission is. That would be one of the first things I would do.
Now, you also created a program to deliver to the acting industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes. This is what your past was underlying with. What was your experience throughout you being an actress? What did you find? What did you see in that field?
Oh, you want to talk about a group of desperate, needy, talented, good-looking people. Because you want to talk about walking around with curtains, which is one of my other books I'm writing called Behind the Curtain. And you want to talk about people just living with a facade. And that industry can suck the spirit right out of you if you do not have a strong foundation. I did everything I could to change the way I looked, the way I felt, the way I spoke. I even altered my voice for auditions. I was like, I need to talk a little deeper because I know they want a smart woman and I need to have a deep voice to be smart. And, I used to do all these really ridiculous things, and every time I didn't book a job, I was going, I'm just not good enough. And I constantly heard, you are so talented, you are so talented. And I'm thinking, well, why am I not getting these jobs? But when I started to go, aha, you just need to be you, because you're good the way you are. You're quirky. You've got all that going on. And when I started to become in line with who I am and what I am and understanding where I fit, because we don't all fit everywhere in society. We have niches that we fit into comfortably. And once I figured that out, then the opportunities and my success just started unfolding. So one of the things that I think is really, really critical when in the acting industry, and this even goes to when I talk about working with kids as well, is building upon that self-esteem. And much like in the acting industry, it's truly getting the actor, just like with the children, truly getting the children to understand they are so special, so unique in their own right, and show them all the different areas that they are really good at, so that they can start to own it. And when I go out and I speak to actors, it's not about how do you become good as an actor. You just got to be real. But how do you present yourself in a way that creates magnetism? And it's another one of those things that I really love to talk about, and that is how do you create that charismatic courage? And that is to have the strength, the inner ability to go out there, be who you know you can be, and creating a magnetic surrounding. And actors don't do that. Actors try to fit in. And I really want, with the acting acting group and also with the children and with women and men is to understand that the world is right there around you. It's like you're in this, you've placed yourself in this little bubble of protection, and the world is standing there right there waiting for you. And if you allow the core, your essence, your light to shine through, you can melt that bubble away immediately, and you will attract everything that's just sitting on the edge waiting for you. And as actors, they don't do that. And as children, we don't do that. And as adults, we tend to not do that. And that is such an empowering, if anybody can walk away from today, what I want them to walk away with is to know that maybe they're doing something to keep that little bubble of protection around them. And that as soon as you go, oh, if I could just get people to stand up in a room and scream and say, I am amazing, and really own it, the world will go, well, it's about time you figure that one out, and it will bring it to you. It will bring it to you. It's just truly having that courage, and you will magnetically just bring it all to you. And that's a lot of the program when I go to actors, is because I was a lost soul just like them.
See, it brings to mind the saying that you only get what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you look at the tabloids, and this is something that I always find it's a distinction that I always make, and it's so funny, you know, it's so ironic, because we do this, we're always searching for the other side, you know, the other side is greener, I want that grass over there, and then you go to the other side, and then you're like looking, and you're kind of like, wait, that other side looks greener, you know,
mm-hmm.
And here we're looking at tabloids, and we're saying, wow, you know, look at these people, here they have the riches, and here they have the lifestyle, and here they have the fame, and here they have the glory. So we're always searching, you know, which of course the acting industry is the one where, you know, people have these accolades and all of a sudden their face and image is splattered everywhere, and all of a sudden they seem to be selling all these products and everyone wants them. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, who is that person in at the core? You know, who do they feel themselves to be, and how much is it costing them to put up that front? And people on the other side are looking like, I want to be just like them. You know, I want to be just like them. And ultimately, all of us collectively can actually say, you know, we all want the glory without the responsibility, because the responsibility carries a lot of weight, a lot of weight with it. And this goes back to a word that you brought up, which was significance. We're oftentimes looking for significance. I mean, we always are looking for significance in one way or the other. And how we gain that significance and how we resolve that within ourselves, obviously it's a very individualized, decision. You know, how you satisfy it and how I satisfy it is different than how someone who's very materialistic wants to satisfy it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in this industry that you were a part of, that just with you for a long part of your life, you know, it seems to me that there is so much of that individual self-awareness that is really missing, or that is very much compromised.
Yeah, that's a business that really can, if you're not careful, it can really remove a big part of you. It can also be an incredible gift. For me, it was an incredible gift because it gave me the skills to be able to be a great speaker, to be able to touch people's lives, but not out of manipulation purposes, but out of being able to express with honesty. And that's one thing about being in theater I love so much, is I can manipulate images and thoughts and ideas through characters to draw emotion from audiences. But as a speaker, which I even kind of sometimes don't even like to call myself a speaker, what I really am is a voice. And to be standing up there in front of groups of people as a voice, but now doing it with authenticity, and which still allows you to bring emotion out of people, but now they've got something they connect to, whereas in theater, you pull the emotion out, but then there's a wall. They can't connect to you. So now as a voice and as a speaker, they've got something they can connect to. And you had mentioned something earlier when we, again, go back to significance, is I think one of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves is to accept who we are, accept our unique qualities, accept our voice. When I was willing to accept that I had made choices in my life that were absolutely against my core, absolutely against myself, and were almost a hateful act towards myself as opposed to a loving act. And when I was finally willing to accept that those choices weren't going to be acceptable anymore to me in my life, my courage developed, my courage strengthened to now be able to say to somebody when a conversation isn't going the way I want it or I'm not being spoken to the way I want to, I can now, out of love and respect for myself, tell that other person, I'm sorry, but this conversation is just not open for discussion anymore. And it's not that I don't respect your views, but there needs to be a mutual respect. And in order for this relationship to continue on, that topic, it's just not open anymore. And I have found that in having that kind of a conversation is very freeing and builds upon your courage. So the first and foremost thing that we need to do as people, as mothers, as husbands, as children, is to love and respect ourselves and our soul first. First and foremost, to not be mats for anybody and to not be a mat for yourself. I mean, don't walk all over yourself. You know, that's denying yourself your spirit. That's denying yourself the things that truly bring you joy. And it's really, really important for us to have balanced lives, balanced society, is to make sure that we do take care of ourselves first. Take care of your own. To always take care of your own first. You, your family, and then contribution to society, and then keeping it all in check.
You know what? That was very good that you said that, because I was going to ask you, well, what about making hard decisions? And I really think you say, you know, you have to have your eye on a goal, and you have to say, ultimately, what is it that I'm seeking? What is it that I want? And then when making a decision, what can you use as a common denominator for everything? And you can say where, you know, with respect to taking care of you, not stepping on your own self, which I think oftentimes is the answer. We are looking to please others. We are looking to help others. We're looking to do things a lot of times at our own expense. And then we still end up feeling bad, feeling guilty, feeling abused, feeling used, feeling anger, feeling frustration, feeling so many different things that if we were to all collectively say, you know what, just not for nothing, but I need to take care of myself first, you know, just for survival, for just to be able to, like you said, God does not create junk.
No.
And if we're not junk, therefore we need to treat ourselves with honor, respect, value, because no one will treat us the way we want to be treated until we can show that for ourselves.
Right.
I think those are life lessons that it takes us a beating, you know, it's taking me all my life till today in itself. You know, you and I had a previous conversation,
yeah,
where you said that to me, and I'm so aware of it, but we're always, you know, we're always somehow coming short in areas of our lives where you realize, like, why am I here? Obviously, it's happening for a reason, and if it keeps on recurring, it's for a reason. So step up and live up to that. Now, we have 2 minutes, and I just want you to give people your contact information, your company, just, you know, and what projects you have upcoming. But first,
sure,
give them,
yeah,
your contacts.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, my name is Suzanne Covey, and if anybody has any questions or if they have comments, if they have, you know, disagreements about what are some of the things that I said, or even if they want to add to some things that I've said, they can email me at Suzanne Covey, that's Suzanne Kov, as in Victor, at comcast.net. And they can also go to my website here within the next couple of days. It's just finishing up, and it's going to be www.suzannecovey.com. The book that I am writing, which is Mountain of Discovery, is in the process of being completed, and the cover's being worked on. Hopefully by the end of the year, that will be available very soon. And I would just love to, if anybody wants to drop me an email, I would just love to share their stories about some of the things that they've been through and what you've learned today or some of the things that you may have walked away with. I would love to hear from them. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, that sounds right. That sounds good. I know we're going to be putting something together as far as a teleseminar and just different venues and ways to reach out to the public. So It's been a pleasure, Suzanne. I thank you for sharing your thoughts, your testimony, your story, and the impact that you are having and just what you bring about to the authenticity that you bring to people. And and just your friendship as well, and your truth, because you're one of those flowers out there. So just thank you, and I look forward to our future going forward together and impacting people.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you for giving me a voice today. I appreciate it.
Okay, until next time, this is Power to Be You at Blog Talk Radio.